Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how good anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. You would think that after being in a classroom for 30 plus years in Huron Valley schools that I would not be nervous in front of a crowd of people, especially because I was in front of teenagers for that many years. But I still am a little bit nervous, so please love me through this. As a teacher, I'm always looking for teachable moments as well. And I have a very short teachable moment for you this morning. Some of you may have noticed that I do have a stole. Oops, it just came apart. But it's a different style than the stole would be for Doug or for Bryant. It's a deacon's stole, which is fashioned after the towel that Christ tied around his waist when he washed the disciples' feet. The other stole for pastors is over the shoulders, which indicates the yoke of responsibility of sharing the word of Christ. I'd like you to think about the last time that you were in a crowd of people, like in a store, during the holidays or in a busy airport or train station. Remember all of those faces surging at you and the different expressions, the emotions displayed on those faces. Think about their physical details, skin color, body types, clothing, hairstyles, piercings, tattoos, and whatever else. In your unique and remarkable human brain, you are able to intake visual information about people and make instantaneous judgments based on what you saw. You probably mentally pigeonholed many people, classifying them as foreigner or native-born, rich or poor, dangerous or friendly. You made judgments based on very little information. You exhibited partiality, something that God never does. Think about how terribly divided our country has become over the presidential election, due in large part to the negative partiality of media reports and social media comments. It grieves me to see relationships destroyed by opposing political views. I kept looking for the light at the end of the tunnel and held on to the hope that the divisiveness would end with the election. Now I have to admit that I feel angry with those who continue to feed the fires of discontent and violence with slanted half-truths and rumors. I quickly flip past the negative Facebook posts and concentrate on new recipes or photos of mine or other grandchildren. Many have made judgments based on lies and hatred instead of truth and love, something God never does. There's a man named Clarence Jordan who had this to say about love in his book, which is called Cotton Patch Parables of Liberation. God doesn't go by the arithmetic that you and I go by. God has never learned to deal in fractions. I think he's like my father who had 10 children, and many a time I thought, "Well, my goodness, with a family this big, Daddy can't love me very much. I can only claim 1/10 of his love. But my father loved me with all his love. It's just that way with love. There's no fraction in it. You can't break it into pieces. And God wants the whole human race. He just can't deal in fractions." And so Jesus is saying to these people who were griping and mumbling and grumbling about the fact that he was taking in all kinds of people, bums and drunks and poor folks and everybody, he was saying, "Well, I just can't help it. God has a sentimental attachment for his people. And whether you like it or not, God loves them. And it does seem to me that if they're precious in God's sight, then they ought to be precious in yours too." Thus my sermon title, "God Doesn't Do Fractions." Also a throwback to my days as a math teacher. So, in our scripture today from Acts, Peter's first words to Cornelius and the Gentiles at Caesarea are, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who reveres him and does what is right is acceptable to him." The book of Acts is believed to be a second book written by the gospel writer Luke. He was an educated man of his time and a physician. To me, the book of Acts is a guide to how Christ followers should live and act. One purpose is a historical continuation of the gospel story, telling us what happened after the resurrection of Christ, how the good news was shared by the 12 and by others. Acts also gives us examples to follow and some not to follow, in loving all people with God's complete love, not just those people we like or are like us. Two primary figures in Acts are Peter and Paul. As biblical records show, Peter's ministry was primarily among the Jews. He was among those whom God called as witnesses. He saw the risen Christ and ate and drank with him. Paul, on the other hand, was a Jew, but also a Roman citizen. He was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus, but after his experience and encounter on the road to Damascus, he became a believer in Christ and spread the word primarily to the Gentiles by establishing churches in various cities. It's interesting that Peter was the one called to go to the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion in Caesarea. And this happened by mystical means. A dream for Cornelius, or an angel for Cornelius, and a dream for Peter, who was guided by God to come to Caesarea. At the time, there were disputes over whether a person must become a Jew before becoming a Christian, or could someone just accept God's love and sacrifice through Christ to be a Christian. Perhaps God used this meeting to help Peter to grow in faith and understanding of Jesus, and understanding Jesus' message, and to help people understand the universality of his love for all humanity. Acts 10:34 through 43 was described by one biblical commentary as the gospel in a nutshell. God sent out the message bringing the good news of love and peace for all by Jesus Christ. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit to do good and to heal the oppressed. Human love is partial in the sense of often showing favor and in the sense of being fragmented. Many mixed emotions affect our love for others, including self-interest and the fact that we are not perfect like God is. One example of human partial love is loving the lovable. When we say someone is lovable, we think the person is probably attractive, pleasing, gifted in some way, happy, cute, or nice. A lovable person is easy to love, but does God call us to love only the lovable? Jesus didn't say, "Love your neighbor, and if he or she is lovable, then love them too." In fact, Jesus searched out some of the most unlovable people during his time on earth, those whom no one else wanted to be near or even touch or minister to. He wanted to show us how complete God's love is for everyone. Another example of partial human love is reciprocal love, giving our love according to how much we expect to receive in return. It's the you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours type of love. That may seem kind of cold, but it is a type of love, especially in partnerships or in even in marriages. You come together to meet each other's needs. But what happens when one partner is unable to continue meeting the other's needs due to illness or other circumstances? The love scale is no longer balanced. The partner carrying the biggest load may feel put upon or start scorekeeping, which again is not the ideal selfless love that God shows. A third example of partial love is controlling love, giving out love or withholding it in order to control the other person emotionally and or physically. It falls short of the love that God shows in the Bible. You might think that God's love, especially in the Old Testament, is controlling love. But if you look at God's love for the people of Israel, you can see that it is not. How many times, over and over again, did God forgive them and direct them back to the path of his love? God gave humankind free will, knowing all along that we will use that freedom and abuse it. Our lives will not be smooth. God's love is absolutely free, and we are always free to accept or reject it. Even if we do walk away, God is always there to offer his complete love again. You may be wondering, what does complete love look like? The simple answer is that complete love looks like God's love. It's when your second child is born, you wonder how I can love two children, but your heart expands and you have twice as much love to give. You don't love the first one any less. That's the wonder of complete love. There's always more to go around. God sets the bar high, placing the ideal of selfless love out there for us through Jesus Christ. A life of Christian discipleship is always reaching onward and upward after his example, trying to love as he loves. When we allow God's love to flow into us and then out into our less than perfect human relationships, the love we extend to others is the complete love of Christ, and overflows into the lives of our friends and families, and sometimes even to perfect strangers. I would like to close today with a thought from the author C.S. Lewis. There is someone I love, even though I don't approve of what he or she does. There is someone I accept, even though some of his or her thoughts and actions revolt me. There is someone I forgive, though he hurts the people I love the most. That person is me.